When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Season 23, the last episode. That can't be right. The book, Star Wars Rogue Planet by Greg Bear. The year, 2008. 2000, it was just 2000. With your host, Jeff and John. Chapters, the last couple of chapters. I don't know, let's go. Good looking at me.
Everybody, welcome to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars novel discussion podcast that this is.
Ooh, this one.
This one right here. This is one of them.
It's one of them.
It's like the 266th one of them.
That's right.
Yeah, we've made a lot of these.
There's quite a few episodes.
Uh-huh. And this is going to be the last episode.
Ever.
We're done. We finished. We did every Star Wars book.
All the Star Wars books have been read and we're done.
Yeah. If you didn't hear us cover one by one of your favorite authors, like, I don't know, like a Timothy Zahn or whatever. We did. You just missed it. It's yeah. Fine. Yeah.
It was probably in the bonus content.
It's in the bonus content. You want it, you got to give us some money. Yeah.
That's right. It's at that Ray Liotta tier.
It's at that Ray Liotta tier. We covered all the Timothy Zahn books.
That's right.
I don't know what we have to lie about the Ray Liotta tier to get someone to do it for a month.
And the problem is, as soon as someone does, we're like, oh shit, oh fuck, oh
God.
Shit.
What do we got to do again? I forgot all the things we promised.
Well, I got to show my nipples.
That's the big one. Your nipples are coming out. I think we owe like 50 extra episodes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll figure it out. Just no one actually pledged there, okay?
No one do that.
No one do. We would hate that.
Oh, please don't throw us in that briar patch.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Things are going okay.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, we're entering into a nice little break period from all of our conventionary duties.
Yep, and entering into the deadline period for a book.
Yeah. Well, I forget how far away that deadline
is. Like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's coming quick.
I'm glad we'll just have a wrap-up for the next one and then a free times.
Yeah, and then I don't think we're done after that. We got yet more work to be done for various books and so on. So
all we have is work. That's all we have in life.
You know how we started this show largely to avoid working?
Yeah, and then we turned our hobby into a job.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
That's the best idea we've ever had.
We should keep doing that.
Yeah.
What other hobbies do we have?
Hey, I don't know. We probably turn my love of board gaming into something I hate.
Yeah, we turn that, yeah, and I like to jack off.
Well, have I got a site for you?
Hell yeah, let's do this. I specifically like to do it alone on a weird chair in the dead center of an otherwise empty room with a bunch of cameras pointed at me. Like, I usually don't have them turned on, but I don't know if there's a way I could potentially monetize that.
Who could say?
Yeah.
That's such a weird thing that no one does.
Yeah, no one has ever done that, so I'm pretty sure I would, yeah. that said, I have no technique at all.
Yeah.
It's just
just real dog shit jerking.
Just the worst.
People see me and they're like, ew, what are you doing?
Fuck is, no one does that.
Oh. How are you not hurting yourself?
Oh, I am.
That's part of it.
I know it's bad. You don't need to tell me.
I like that it's bad.
No, I don't.
Oh, Lord.
The hobby is about self-improvement. I've just really taken my time.
You know, I get a little bit better. One stroke at a time.
At least I like to think so. But in truth, I do not. I just keep getting
worse. I'm real
worse.
Bad.
I'm getting... Practice makes worse.
That's right.
Ow!
That's what they say.
So, when last we left our heroes?
Yes, indeed. When last we left our heroes, Anakin had been captured from the top of the Magister's Terrace by Wraith Synar and Tarkin and some troopers that they had, and they scooped up the ship that he had.
Yep.
And him. They left Jabba behind.
Yep.
And you know, didn't seem to give a shit that Key Dave had his mind blown up.
No, they didn't care at all. They didn't even stop to look at him. There were some soldiers out surrounding him, but they were like, should we bring this guy along? And Tarkin was like, nay.
Fucketh that man.
Hearken unto me now.
Verily I say, fucketh that dude.
Bitches swerve.
And Obi-Wan fucking blew
flying
up
around.
Some shit and also was there to see Key Dave get blown up by a ship.
Yeah, he saw that happen, and I think he got jumped back on board the Starsea Flower with one Mr. Charzay Quinn.
That's right.
And right at the end of the chapters, Anakin had been thrown into this the back decks of one of those mine layer ships they've been using to seed sky mines all over the planet. Along with his ship, his brand new Sakaaten warship,
yeah,
which I guess is not big and it's not huge because these mine layer things scooped it right up, and they threw him in a room with it and locked him up in there.
Oh yeah, I mean there are some guards and whatnot there, but he also essentially on the way out got to have another little conversation with the planet because he's been having talks with Cicote.
Yep,
and the planet's just like, hey, dude, so sorry if I murder you, but I'm going to get the fuck out.
Yeah, things are about to happen that are big and scary, and it might involve killing all the ships in orbit around here. I don't know for sure. So, hey, hopefully you get out, but if you don't, you don't. And
sorry.
Anakin's like, yeah, I get it. And then he, like, his chapter ended with him, like, kneeling down and getting ready to die just in case, because he couldn't think of any other thing to
do. Yeah, he's like, well, I guess I'll make peace with mortality then.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Sinar and Tarkin were sitting in a room, and Tarkin was having a weird fantasy about having to be a barber of the Republic. And Sinar, who was very defeated, was just like, and I suppose I shall be the person who sweeps up hair clippings. And that was where they ended. Just smugging and moping.
Yep.
And that's where we ended. Oh, no, that's not. Because right at the end, Charza Quinn was like, let me go get my new toy ready. And Anakin was like, your new toy, or Obi-Wan, your new toy? What's that? And he goes, oh, just something.
Oh, it's a big dildo.
It's something I use for pirating.
It's from Bad Dragon.
It's a big Bad Dragon. Yeah, it's the one that looks like it's from like a dragon horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it has like a screw built into it. And I mounted it on an actual like Ryobi power drill.
And now I'm going to fuck start their transport.
Yeah, and I'm sitting over here like, that sounds very stupid, but my plans are still worse. I am so bad at this. And he's like, I know, I'm not even close to the same species as you, and I can tell you're terrible at jacking it. And I'm like, thanks, man. Thanks, Quinn.
Thanks, Charza.
Thanks, Charza A. Quinn.
But he
has some sort of boarding tool he's going to use, because he's worried that in the future, the Republic may not be so favorable to his kind, and he may have to take up another career.
Yeah.
In his case, he's like, what if the Jedi stop hiring me to ferry your asses around? But otherwise, it's just foreshadowing that the Empire's about to be taken over and be super racist.
Yeah. So, these chapters start back on Anakin, hanging out and...
drinking.
Hanging and banging.
In the back of an El Camino.
He is hanging out, and Tarkin is, like, very uncomfortably trying to be like, hello, my good friend. Anakin Skywalker.
Hello, fellow kid. Yeah, because they've come down to visit. They're going to interrogate him.
And it's wild because you can tell Tarkin's like, God damn it, I need this kid alive because he's keeping this ship alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I need stuff from him, but I hate that I have to treat him at all civilly. And he's just like, yes, hello. What a wonderful ship you have. I'm sure we will be the best of friends. And Anakin's like, fuck you, old man.
Yeah, pretty much. Anakin answers the first couple questions politely and honestly because he can't think of anything else to do. Meanwhile, Sinar has basically taken the measure of Anakin in a second and has been like, I'm going to get nothing out of that kid. I'm just going to go look at the ship.
Yeah, he's just fucking crawling around on the top of the ship like, ooh, look at this thing.
This thing's neat. I hate the color scheme. I think everyone would.
Looks like dumb as hell, but, you know, it's cool.
Is it still 1974 on Zonama Sakote? Because these colors, oh my God. This looks like my great uncle's towels.
This is like a kitchen you find in an abandoned house.
Let me guess, the interior still smells like Pall Malls.
Mmm, delicious.
Yeah. You can just tell this thing smells like a 70s hotel room on the inside. But yeah, Tarkin's meanwhile, hello, fellow kids. I do not wish to strike you at all.
Yeah, and he's just like, boy, it sure is going to be great when we take you back to the temple. Welp. You should show me all the secrets that are here.
Yeah.
Anakin's like, how about you go fuck yourself?
Yeah, his first question was like, so what was it like flying it? And Anakin, in that case, answers honestly because it must have been kind of neat. So he's like, yeah, it was neat, but I didn't really get a chance because, you know, you're trying to kill me and everyone on the planet I was on. And Tarkin says, yes, regrettably, we asked them to do something and they didn't comply. And that's how war goes.
He's like, yeah, that's not a thing, my man. They were peaceful and you just bombed the shit out of them. And he's like, how about you shut the fuck up?
I'm going to hit you. Nope. Okay.
Nope.
I'm not going to hit you.
can't hit the Jedi kid.
Yeah. Plus, he's already taking the measure of this kid and being like, wow, this Anakin character is much more willful than I had anticipated.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, he's answering honestly at first, but as soon as he says, hey, how about you take me on a tour of your ship? Anakin just goes, you can just do whatever you want. I won't help you.
Oh, yeah. The second he starts being like, hey, what about whatever? Anakin just straight up is like, puts his head down and just doesn't say anything.
Yeah. And when he finally talks, he literally just goes, do what you want to do. I will not be part of it.
Yeah.
So if you can get into the ship without me, be my guest.
And I love that while this is happening, Tarkin, in addition to being like, God damn it, I hate this fucking asshole, is also like, no, I did see the body of Key Dave. I understand that this dude could probably kill me with his brain. And the second he gets to a point where he's like, oh, I fucking hate this kid, he thinks back on that and he's like, wait a minute, and just starts looking around to make sure he has bodyguards, like, oh, if I piss this kid off enough, he's probably going to make my head explode.
Yeah.
He's going to straight scanners me.
Yeah. And then, of course, Sinar continuing to just crawl around on the ship and be like, hey, look at this thing. Hey, it's got a dongle.
Hey, I found dongles.
What do these do? They dongle. They dong well.
They will dong verily on high.
They dong well, unlike Jeff, I understand.
The baddest dongs.
Eventually, he's like, hey, Anakin, we're going to leave this room and go up to the rest of the ship. Why don't you come with me? And takes the boy by the shoulder, which was a bad idea, because Anakin is in the exact same position of, like, unstoppable desperation he was in when Key Dave was threatening him. So the moment Tarkin tries to put his hand around Anakin's shoulder, his hand gets burned.
Oh, yeah. He, like, flinches back and waves his hand around as if he has just touched a hot pan. He's like, oh, that's right. This is a fucking Jedi. I keep forgetting that these guys are fucking wizards.
Because he looks like a little 12-year-old, and he's used to even interacting with other Jedi, but this one's special.
And also, most Jedi would be like, oh, they can keep it under control. This is also a kid, which means he might not be able to. And again, he's like, I did see Key Dave. I do know this kid is capable of some shit.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Anakin's head, he's like, fuck, I just did it again. I got to get this under control. I cannot go ballistic in this room and kill everybody in here.
Yeah, I need to bury that shit.
The trial isn't over yet, and I can still get like a B. I'm allowed to kill one blood carver.
Yeah, they might forgive me for murdering a dude who was trying to murder me.
Yeah.
That's self-defense, at least.
Yeah.
But if I just blow up a room full of guys, that's real bad.
Yeah. So don't, okay, hold still.
Yeah. And then right after that, he's like, God damn it. All right, fine. Let me look around and see if there's some guards. But then as soon as that happens, a like drill starts going up from the bottom of the ship and a fucking like shockwave happens because Charzaquin has
booked
his ship underneath the other ship and is just like Bugs Bunny with a saw carving a hole in the bottom.
Yeah, he's just drilling in through the bottom with the big drill from the front of the airship in Final Fantasy IV. And the moment, you know, he starts firing sparks and melty metal and shit all over inside the room. And this is great, though, because Tarkin just, he sees this happen and doesn't even stop to posture or do anything. He just runs away.
Oh,
the instant it happens,
nopes the fuck out. Yeah. As soon as pressure changes, he's like, and that's all my time. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Coming up next to the stage, I forget his name, but I'm sure he's great.
And, you know, same thing for Sinar. Sinar's like, yeah, I have no business being in here while this is happening.
It takes him like an extra second, but that's literally only because he was up on top of the ship. So once he jumps down, he runs out and doesn't even bother to check to see if Anakin's going to be okay. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm out. It's fine. I don't give a shit.
Amusingly, this is also a scene for Sinar for the most part. Like, I think they have one more chapter here that's less than a page long where the two of them seethe about the shit that just happened.
Yeah.
And that's it. We're done.
Well, I mean, this is the end of the book.
I know. It's just funny to me how little resolution this book actually has.
Yes.
Given all the buildup.
Yeah.
So much so that they had to add a fucking coda to it, which doesn't feel like it was written by the same guy.
They're like, oh, and by the way, at the end of the book, everything went to normal. Yeah. Bye. But, yeah, the some of the guards, at least, stay behind. They put on some pressure equalization masks, and they get their guns out. But, of course, up from the bottom of this hole that gets drilled up in here,
30 stories high,
it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's fucking everyone.
Yeah.
Just green lightsaber and a cloud of smoke shows up, and they open fire, and he's just like, no, I am a Jedi. Yeah. None of these will hit.
It's what, a four storm Republic troopers or whatever? Who gives a flying shit?
None of you have, like, automatic guns. You're all single-shot firing, and this is easy as hell.
Yeah.
And Anakin, for his part, is like, fuck yes!
Yeah, to a limited degree. He's super excited. He's also a little bit ashamed of himself, because he's like, oh, Obi-Wan, great. And then he goes, ah, fuck, I thought I was going to die here. I completely forgot to take into account that, like, a Jedi pull off impossible shit constantly.
Yeah, he's like, I fully did not believe that my master would show up and save me. I was 100% on the I'm gonna die train.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bad about, you know, not believing in Obi-Wan a little more.
Yeah. But Obi-Wan just stands there in the smoke, shooting lasers back at the stormtroopers until they're all dead. And then he's like, all right, well, hi, Anakin. Hey, how's it going? Hey, buddy. Hey,
we got to get the fuck out.
We got to go because what's his Charza there? He said a bomb that's going
to
blow up.
Well, I mean, he didn't even say that. He's just like, Anakin, we need to go. And Anakin's like, we can't. We have no fuel. All right, 3 minutes. And I say 3 minutes because a bomb is going to blow up in 3 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah. So they grab a fuel, because luckily they're in a hangar. So they grab a fuel line and start filling up the ship.
Yeah. That is, from outside, Tarkin is just like, God damn it. We're so close.
We're 2 minutes from the other ship I needed to get to. What the fuck?
So close to just docking with the main ship and being done with this. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, so I'm going to call the Einum, which is the ship I'm trying to dock on. You don't let any ships leave this ship, no matter what. Catch them in tractor beams, blow them up, whatever you have to do. You kill them.
And they are... Also, him and Sinar in an escape pod.
Yes.
And he's, like, slamming his fist against the side, being like, damn it, we were so close! And Sinar's like, hey, careful, man. This was made for the lowest bidder,
yeah, right.
And that was me.
Yeah.
I did not make this for strength. I made it for how light it was.
Yeah. He's and like, hey, quit banging this. Because he's, like, gloating now. Now that Tarkin's whole stupid plan has failed on him.
Yeah, he's like, now that everything's blown up in your face, ha-ha.
Hey, Would you mind quit hitting your fail ship that you're in, your little ship for fail boys, because it's designed for failures, and it could easily fall apart if you have too big of a fail tantrum.
I mean, the thing is, he designed them.
Oh, no, he know what he's saying is correct.
Yeah.
But he's still, like, rubbing it in. He's like, hey, oh no, your plan didn't work? I wonder what went wrong.
Oh, it's probably, because you're dumb. And also, the reason this sucks is because you gave it to the lowest bidder. You people are not in the, you know, habit of getting the best.
Right. There are a few other things to mention from the opening chapter. First of all, a little play for Anakin where he notices that Sinar is much more intelligent than Tarkin.
Oh, yeah.
There's a point where he just goes,
all right, that guy's smart. That guy's an asshole.
That guy's a mean, racist asshole. I can tell right away. And it doesn't help that there's a point where he's talking to Tarkin about aliens. I forget which one.
Because he's like, oh, you know, you sent Key Dave and he died.
Right. Lloyd Carver,
and
yeah.
And Tarkin's just like, yeah, it's an unfortunate side effect of him not understanding what I meant. That's a thing that aliens do. Isn't it so much better to talk to humans instead?
Yeah, he drops a little of his practicing at being a big old human racist. And Anakin just goes, I'm not responding to that shit.
Ugh.
Get the fuck out of here. Beat it, Stormfront.
Yeah, I love that, you know, Tarkin trying to be like, isn't it so much better being around humans? Anakin's like, I'm not dignifying that with a response. I'm good.
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's nice that Anakin is not space racist at the moment, but he does end up becoming one of the biggest muscles for the fucking Empire eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta wonder if he ever had any kind of particular sentiment regarding aliens after that, or if he was just literally doing whatever Palpatine said without worrying about it.
I mean, I assume by the time he becomes Vader, he's like, I don't care. I don't like aliens because I don't like anything that is alive. Mm-hmm. I am hate fucking the galaxy.
Hate to live, don't live to hate. That's my motto, except I also do both.
I do everything.
It is all I am programmed to do, I hate.
Yeah, it's just, I doubt he gives a shit because he's like, oh, what are you going to do? We're going to kill a bunch of aliens. All right, sure. We're probably going to kill a bunch of humans, too, because
mm-hmm.
that's all we do is kill people, so yeah. Whatever.
I don't care. Another day, another fucking murdering with red lightsabers. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's just some stuff that happened in that chapter that I wanted to mention.
Yeah, they eventually, Charles is like, all right, I'm going to get the fuck out of here, and just leaves the bomb to blow up this ship, and is like, all right, well, bye. I'm out.
Yep, okay, I'm sure they'll be fine. Time for me. And now it's time for Charza Quinn to make his exit from this book, stage left even.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of that. Is it? No, he ends up following them to the surface of the planet when they do their runaway sequence.
Yeah.
But he never has another line. We just see his ship from the outside.
No. He does at least verify that an escape pod leaves, so we know, you know, Sinar and Tarkin got out.
It immediately gets tractored into the item.
Yeah, it's so just like, ah. Pop and whoop.
Yep. So they don't even have to steer it. They just pop out and get yanked. But then because the whatever drilling he did managed to get the evacuate or kill everybody on the mining tug that they were on in the first place, it just floats lazily into the shields of the item and blows itself up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he managed to drill a big thing and put a bomb in there, and it's just like, nah, this is done.
Yeah, so basically, he blows it up, it kills everybody on board, and then the Hulk drifts forward and bonks into the shields of the item, where it rocks the item a little bit, but mostly just completely vaporizes the remnants of the mining tug. And as it does so, out comes the Sakaatan warship, along with Anakin and Obi-Wan now riding it, and they're okay.
Yeah.
But they're taking a lot of fire from the item, and it's getting through because the ship doesn't have shields installed yet, so it's poking it in the body, and it keeps healing from them, but complaining that it hurts to Anakin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the explosion that happens, they don't get out before this ship blows up. Basically,
yes.
The explosion happens, and the shockwave of that is enough to push them out. And the ship, like you said, is just anything that happens, like, ow, fuck, ow,
well, I hate
ow,
this.
Though.
I'm a baby. Please remember I'm a baby.
All of this sucks. I can heal from it, but I'm baby Wolverine, and everything keeps, like, blasting holes in me, and then I heal it up, but it sucks.
Which is, of course, the story of baby Wolverine.
Of baby Wolverine.
When he was a wee babby, his parents crammed him into a dryer full of thumbtacks.
That's the story.
Uh-huh. No, don't come at me about how he was born in the 1650s or whatever. There were dryers at the time.
I mean, yeah. It was, what I think, late 1800s ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it? I thought he was earlier than that. But sure, yeah. James Howlett does feel correct for the 1800s.
Yeah,
but he was also in the Marvel 1600 universe. So,
yeah, well,
so think about that.
just have a thought about that.
Actually, I'm not even sure he was.
I don't remember any of the X-Men being in that one. I'm sure there were.
I don't remember any of them now either. Shit.
Hey.
Because the only 1600 I've ever read, it was the crossover they did during Secret Wars or whatever.
I read the original series, and it was like, oh, we put, like, Daredevil and Doctor Doom and Spider-Man and shit in this,
yeah,
but didn't really do a lot of X-Men stuff.
The Secret Wars crossover focused on Angela, of all characters. It's like the only Angela thing I've ever read as well.
Wild.
Yeah.
Anyway.
As far as I know, she's a 1600s lady.
That's what I know.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they get out, and as soon as they fly out, they're like, all right, let's try and escape. Pointing away from the planet, it is a giant net of those starfighters.
Yes.
It is just a ton of starfighters and mine layers, and they're like, all right, that direction's a no-go. How about we go back to the planet?
Yes, so they're flying around on the planet. This isn't safe either, because those mines are still coming. So they're like, we have to get really low, and Anakin says, oh, let's go to that big fucking canyon that was the manufacturing wing of this planet, because it's really low, it's carved into the ground, and my understanding is that a Sakaat has told me that they pulled back the shield arms.
Yeah, all the, like, trees and the Tampasi and whatever thing that were covering it are now away, so we can't actually dive into the canyon.
Yes.
It is a very small canyon if you're looking at it from, you know,
spaceship
a
perspective.
Ship.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's all that small even by that, because by Star Wars standards, you can fly through anything that's at least 6 inches on either side of your spaceship if you are not in a TIE fighter.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like this is sort of a proto trench run thing where it's like,
yeah,
it is a very small, long canyon that you are flying along.
Yeah.
And then occasionally there are little things you need to fly above or below them.
There's like rock pillars.
Lobsters.
There's rock lobsters everywhere. There's these huge pillars of rock going up, you know, like Bono and Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pillars of rock.
The pillars of rock.
Available now in this great 14-track CD from Time Life cassettes.
This isn't your grandma's station.
Go on. Tell them what's on punk.
Anyway, they fly down there and, you know, Obi-Wan tries to help out. Like, he puts his hands on the controls, and it is one of those things where, like, Anakin is elbow deep in this ship.
Yeah.
And even when Obi-Wan is
around
like,
in there.
Oh yeah, he's just like, oh, I'll try and help, and he puts his fingers on the dash and it just sort of like goops him down to the wrists, and that is when he's like, oh, I'm fully fucking connected to the ship and to Anakin and oddly the planet now. And Obi-Wan has not had the journey that Anakin has had, where he has spoken to Vergeer and Sikot and all of this nonsense. So when Anakin's like, yeah, so the planet told me that we should probably go over here, he's like, I'm having a real hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that the planet is telling you anything.
Yeah, it's wild to me that we have a moment where Obi-Wan, although I should have understood it, because Phantom Menace era Obi-Wan is like a petulant, disbelieving little snot, you know? And this is only like 2 years after that.
Yeah.
So the idea for him to be like you're telling me the whole planet's intelligent? That doesn't sound correct.
That can't be.
Normally,
right.
Star Wars people are like, yeah, that sounds right. Whatever. Who gives a shit, right? I mean, fucking, I've read three other intelligent planets already.
Yeah, but he's just like, that's very weird to me that the planet is doing that. But he does accept it when Anakin's like, yeah, no, the planet tells me this is what we got to do. He's like, all right, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no because I am currently psychically connected to a spaceship and you by getting wrist deep in this goop ship.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And eventually Anakin's like, hey, maybe you should just let me fly. And Obi-Wan's like, yep, you got it. You're the pilot. I'm staying out of this. Is there a job I can do? And so Anakin gives him a job.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm going to fly and try and do stuff. Can you focus on, like, Sikot is giving us information for like, oh, here's images of farther in the canyon so we can see what's coming up. Here's what's going on. He's like, you just essentially focus on being extra pair of eyes.
Yeah, parse that shit.
Yeah, just tell me what I need to do.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. So that they end up flying around through the canyon, but this doesn't turn out to be safe either. And as they rise up out of it to try and make some kind of desperate escape, because Anakin has finally picked up, oh shit, this planet is leaving.
They don't get that yet.
Okay.
Because first, we get three giant beams of light shoot out into the sky.
Yeah.
And they're like, that is fucked.
Yeah. And then they start seeing these pillars rise up out of the surface of the planet. They're like 300 miles high.
Yeah. They're just like, what the shit is going on? And at first, the beams are like, oh, this sort of seems like it is like sunlight or something, but the beams that are going up absolutely blast everything near them,
mm-hmm.
and eventually, while they're flying, one of these pillars, Obi-Wan finally goes, wait a minute, that is a giant hyperdrive.
Yeah.
Like, a hundreds of miles high hyperdrive is coming out of this planet. Are they going to fly somewhere? And Anakin's like, yeah, I guess they're getting the fuck out.
Yeah, and Sikot tells me we have like 3 minutes before they go. So if we don't want to go with them, we have to get to a solar orbit in that time.
Yeah. So we got to leave. And Sikot helps them out. One of those beams that is part of the engine just does a huge blast.
Mm-hmm.
And
sputters out.
Like, stops working. But the thing is, they say it stops working. I was thinking, oh, it did that just so they'd have the corridor to leave.
Exactly, because by pulsing extra strong, it blasts every ship in that area like the fucking SDF-1 fired through there. And then they're just like, great.
Oh, yeah. There's a hole in the fucking atmosphere and everything.
He made a hole. Let's go fill it up. So they're going to leave through that, and Charles is going to follow them. Charles has been right behind them this whole time. He is a dazzlingly good pilot.
Yeah. I mean, once they actually get through that hole that was created by the planet and get out, Charza cannot keep up because he's like, I'm an amazing pilot, but I also am not in the fastest ship that's ever lived.
Yes.
So he breaks off and is like, you know what? I'm just going to keep these starfighters busy. Yep. My whole job is, he's like, I'm just going to veer off and be a dancing bear for them to chase after.
Yeah, he ends up getting into a one-on-one battle with a picket ship of some kind. Meanwhile, there are 30 billion starfighters in the sky. Because the Sukkot keeps sending up just wave after wave of unmanned, what I have to assume are those bug things that we, Parasects or whatever, we met way earlier in this.
Yeah.
But now they're fighter ships. And they, none of them have weapons. So they're all just flying up, grabbing these ships and tractor beams, these droid fighters, and dragging them down to the surface where they get overrun by stuff.
Or occasionally just flying directly into the mines to blow them up because none of them are piloted. Sukkot is just piloting all of these ships.
What's wild is that means it's an entire battle between no pilots at all.
Yeah.
Because it's droid ships versus...
It's fine, everybody. Nobody died.
Yeah, it's droid ships versus drone living bug monsters. So it's a wild battle taking place. But basically, Anakin and Obi-Wan do in fact manage to make it out to a solar orbit. They look back down at the planet, and Jesus Christ, the whole it sure enough is a hyperdrive.
Yeah, the entire planet, like, shudders, a shockwave goes out, and then it disappears into hyperspace, leaving behind a planet-sized void.
Which is weird, because it was already in a void.
Well...
And so that I when I read that, I was like, oh, so we're going to do that thing where everything gets displaced by it leaving. And I'm like, but no, it's in fucking space. There's nothing to rush in to fill it. It's in a vacuum already.
Well, there was literally nothing there.
Yeah.
And then it was like instantly gone. Yeah. So the planet left nothing inside of, because a vacuum isn't fully nothing. There is particles out there.
Well, yeah, but there's also no air pressure to force particles to fill that void, so well, which means it wouldn't really do anything.
The thing is, the way it's described here, it isn't even like, oh, and then it pulls them all into the void that was left.
Yeah, it just ripples
it
out.
It just pulses.
Yeah.
So I assume it was just, oh, the energy of an entire planet going to hyperspace just sent a shockwave.
Yeah, it blows up a crapload of ships.
Yeah,
and then they have to escape the shockwave. They have to ride away from it before it kills them.
Yeah. The shockwave itself, you can see tons of all the ships just go crashing into each other. Mines go flying out into a bunch of stuff. Tarkin's ship that he is on, that sort of the Einum, the main ship that he was in, still gets hit by a bunch of other crap and barely limps away.
Yes, yeah. Meanwhile, 5 minutes earlier, my favorite way to say meanwhile, Tarkin, we do have a whole chapter for Tarkin here that's one of those like end of the Bible half a page chapters. There's two of them in a row. I think it was like chapters 63 and 64 are both like one paragraph. But one of them is Tarkin just angrily yelling about how he's totally going to get the ship and says like, you know what? It was the one where we didn't mention the other half of it. When Sinar's ribbing him for bonking his escape pod, one of the orders he gave was destroy the whole fucking planet.
Yeah, just destroy all of the ships and everything down there. Fuck everything.
Fuck this. Fuck losing. Fuck. Just kill everybody down there.
Yeah.
So he's not happy. He watches the whole ship, the whole planet disappear, and now he's got nothing to show for this.
I mean, we never go back to Tarkin to get his perspective on it. But
yeah, that's the end of Tarkin.
But yeah, Anakin has to, meanwhile, push the ship to go into hyperdrive because he's like, we have to get away from this shockwave. So manages to get it in there, and Obi-Wan at least is like, oh, well, for my part, I can at least give you the, like, space coordinates for Coruscant so we have a place to go to.
Yes, yeah, and he also wants to send a message.
Yeah, he's like, also send a message. Well, that's later, because eventually when he wakes up, because he does pass out, wakes up, they're still in hyperspace. Anakin is asleep, like still elbow deep in the ship, but just his eyes are twitching in REM.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, he kind of like connects with the ship again and realizes, oh, the ship is fucked. It took a shitload of damage.
And is dying.
And is not going to be able to make it to Coruscant. It's going to try and take us as far as it can because it wants to help. But he's like, oh, okay. I know of a secret Jedi planet
that's called Selene.
That is closer than Coruscant that we could go to, and maybe we can do something there. And he's like, all right, send a message to Coruscant. Tell Mace Windu, tell
Thracia,
tell whoever to meet us there, because we have a wild fucking story, so we should do that.
And also, I need a Master Jedi counselor to come out here and talk to the boy, because he just went through one of the ill-defined trials that we're always doing, and that's part of it.
And, you know, he killed a guy, so I would like, you know, a counselor to maybe go over that with
him. I'm sure that's in his mind, but he doesn't even mention it when he's like, it's part of the trial. We need a counselor to come out here immediately. He's been through some serious shit.
Well, I mean, the way he said it, it sounded like, I need someone to come out here and take this kid from me because I cannot be his master, is what it sounded like.
I think what he was saying is, I can't be the counselor, that it's got to be a multi-person process.
Well, also, it needs to be someone that wasn't involved in it as well.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. I think these trial things, you can't just be like, all right, kid, go have a trial. And when you come back, you're going to talk to me about it. Because there's, like, checks and balances within the Jedi Order, at least a little bit, like I would hope.
Yeah.
And so he's like, go get another counselor. It can't be me that has the post-trial debriefing. It's got to be an impartial...
Yeah, I can't take my own Padawan and then come back and go, yeah, he was great and everything's fine. Yeah. I'm a cool master.
It's probably why he asked for Mace or Thracia, because those two are the nicest ones to younglings.
Yes.
Outside of Yoda, who I assume doesn't have to do those things. He was like, send Yoda. And Yoda would be like,
nah.
No. Smash Brothers.
And Anakin wakes up at that point, and, you know, Obi-Wan's like, hey, you were asleep. And he's like, kind of. I was basically, I think the ship was dreaming, and I was also dreaming, and we were having a fun time and flying around, and we were getting into cool, fun trouble in space.
And you were there, and you were laughing about it. You were having a great time, too, just off screen.
Yeah. He's like, hey, so I think I have a name for the ship now.
Yes, we're going to call the ship. We're going to give it a brand new name, because that's something I want to do. It deserves a name.
Yeah, it deserves a name. I'm going to call it Jabatha.
That can't be right.
And Obi-Wan's like, yes, that's a beautiful name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You sure you don't want to go with Stabatha instead? It's got a more of an edge to it.
Oh, back Stabatha.
I have to retire that joke. If you don't know what the hell that is, that's from, we've been doing a quiz show all year at our conventions that we go to, and it's all been multiple choice so that it's fair to people, because being asked fucking hard questions about deep history of RPGs, very difficult. So one of the multiple choices was the name of the thief from Dark Dungeons and the player of the thief.
The Chick Tract,
the Chick Tract Dark Dungeons, where the actual answer is, Blackleaf and Marcy?
Yes.
But the joke answers were things like, you know, Shindrana Lane and Elizawendeth and Doug the Rogue and Doug.
Yeah.
And then finally, Backstabatha and Jane. And I just really liked Backstabatha.
Yeah. It's great.
So anyway, now I got to retire because we're doing a different show next year.
But yes, he is like, great, it's got a name, everything's wonderful, I'm super happy about that. Hey, do you think the, like, actual Jabatha is still alive? And at that point, Obi-Wan's like, I honestly have no idea if anyone managed to survive a planet going to hyperspace.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that we have not even begun to think about, because it's a Star Wars book and we don't want to. Like,
how does the science of a ship being in hyperspace work?
Is hyperspace going to scrape the atmosphere off that planet? That seems like a real possibility.
Yeah.
How long are they going to be in hyperspace before they drop to unlivable surface temperatures because they are not exposed to a sun?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that, you know, do not get asked here. They're just like, hey, do you think they're alive? And Obi-Wan being like, I hope so. I don't know, man. Shit's fucked.
Dude.
My man, I wish I knew.
Dude, that's a perfect conversation to have when I'm like this much higher. Like,
dude, you gotta give the gummies time to work.
Yeah, ask me again in half hour to 45 minutes, because I've been eating chunks of the goop on the console over there, and I gotta assume it's gonna fuck me up. Anyway, he's also, Anakin finally tears off the big band-aid, because it's a really somber tone.
Yeah.
And he's like, is Jabatha dying? And Anakin's like, yeah, yeah, the ship is going to die.
He's the ship is on the way out.
Yeah, it can't. It's going to take us someplace safe, and doing that is going to kill it, and there's no other way around this.
Yeah, and he, you know, Obi-Wan is sad about this because he's like, Jesus Christ, everything this kid ends up loving gets taken away from him.
Yeah.
What is this dude's life? And
I mean, we could go get his mom back from Tatooine literally any time. They gave me 10 billion galactic credits to do this mission. We could have just gone to Tatooine and bought Shmi for 10 of them.
Yeah.
Not even 10 billion of them, just 10 of them.
10 whole credits gets you a Shmi.
Watto, let me get that Shmi. Here's 10 credits.
I'll throw 5 more in and you can get me a cool droid.
Yeah, you know what? I'll chance cube for double, and if you lose, you still get all the money. I don't even care. So, you know, if you want to give the kid back something he loves that has been taken away from him, it's well within your capacity.
Nope. I'd need instead to find out what Vergeer said. And Anakin's like, oh yeah, I'll just have the ship tell you. And the ship just projects Vergeer into Obi-Wan's mind and is like, hey, the whole far outsider thing. Here you go.
Yeah. They're still not saying the words. I'm kind of guessing that maybe because there's a whole interview at the back here that asks, like, Greg Bear what his ideas for this book were. I don't know if your copy also has the interview with Greg Bear.
No.
But there's a whole interview with Greg Bear in the back of mine where it says, how did Rogue Planet come about? How much of the idea behind the book is yours? He says, I developed it, and I pitched it to the folks at Lucasfilm. A few minor changes. The idea proceeded to book form as originally conceived. Technical correction and some character detail and limitations were opposed, but I think they were comparatively minor, which suggests that either it's a random coincidence that this book perfectly lines up with the story of the Yuuzhan Vong to come down the pipe later, or we already knew about the Yuuzhan Vong and he was like, oh, here's my pitch. We'll just not name them and put them into an early... I got to look up the timeline.
Or someone went, oh, I read that book and I like the idea of the Far Outsiders. I'm going to make them the Yuuzhan Vong. Yeah.
Or he's lying and he was like, I have an idea for a book. And they're like, make the bad guys nebulous and don't name them and call them the Outsiders. And he was like, okay, I can do that.
I mean, even then, if he's like, there were minor changes, the Far Outsiders in this book are like 5 sentences.
Yeah,
they do not matter to the plot.
And I only know about their connection. I mean, the Yuuzhan Vong connection is fairly obvious based on the fact that they're the Far Outsiders. They use biological weapons exclusively.
Yeah. They don't exist in the Force.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff that tells you everything you need to know if you know about the Yuuzhan Vong at all. But it could very well be that he didn't at this time.
Yeah.
So, we don't know. But anyway, yeah, he gets to see Vergeer, give the whole speech again, and then eventually they settle in on the planetoid Selene, which is like a really remote, tiny little ice crystal of a thing that only Jedi ever bother going to. They just use it as a recovery outpost. And even Obi-Wan only knows about it because Qui-Gon took him there once after they were in an insane, difficult situation.
Oh, yeah. He's like, no one knows that there is anything there. It is a very secret Jedi base and nothing else on there.
Yeah.
So we cut to them on the planet and Anakin just sort of sitting in a hangar there and just having a moment where he's like, this is the worst possible thing, that my ship is going to die on a cold, shitty planetoid. And he tries to project the image of, like, the jungles and the planets of Zonama in there and be like, I want to try and, like, make it so that this thing's final moments of being alive aren't an ice storm.
Yeah, and isolation and cold and alone and all that. So he's just doing what he can to be... Anakin's a psychopomp in this book. He's with every character that dies. He's just sitting there watching them go.
Yeah, and... it is definitely a thing where you're like, oh, I see why this guy gets fucked up.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty. It's a good bit of writing for the purposes of helping to fuck up Anakin over time, especially given that the movies skip around so much that you feel like you're missing a ton of his fall.
Yeah. You're like, why are you like this? And at least in this book, you're like, oh, shit happens to this kid a lot,
yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Basically, right after the ship dies, he's moping around, obviously. I don't even want to say that. Feels like a mean thing to say to a kid whose pet, his like favorite pet slash best friend slash first child just died.
Yeah.
But in comes Obi-Wan and Thracia Cho'Lim, the old lady from the very beginning of this book that was the Jedi Master of Vergeer.
Yeah, and the one that sent them on this mission.
She sent them on the mission, and she's the nicest one of the elderly masters, except for Mace Windu, apparently, to the younglings.
Yeah.
So she pops in, and she's like, hey, I think you know why I'm here. And Anakin's basically like, yeah, oh, obviously, it's because of the trial stuff. I got to do the trial. Okay. So I got to talk to you about that. Fine. So she pulls up a seat on a bench and pulls him over to sit down. And she's like, basically, say, like, hey, you need to be super honest with me about what's about to happen. I'm going to be able to read your mind the whole time. You've seen some serious shit.
Yeah, you need to open yourself, by the way, so that I can read you.
Yeah, and I can tell you've grown up quite a bit just in the past 3 weeks or whatever it was. You're a different person already.
Yeah, but also, this is still part of the trial, so don't fucking try and hold anything back or do anything. We are still judging you.
Yeah. And then pretty much we go right to dun 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 because it's over.
Yeah, except we get the coda.
And there's a coda.
Just the most
fucking ham-fisted bullshit you've ever seen. It's just like, hey, you know all the shit we forgot to say anything about? Here you go.
So no more Sakotan ships were made, and in a few years, all of them are dead or destroyed.
Yeah.
Which seems wild, given that they don't also say, like, oh, and that was a thing they tried to do. I'm like, oh, did the planet just die then? Because we do get a little thing where they're like, oh, there was news of reports of, like, a planet that would appear sometimes, and everyone says it's controlled by, like, a madman or a great saint or whatever. Anyway, the legends are never clear. Like, okay, but what the fuck happened?
What happened? We don't know. It doesn't matter. Apparently it didn't die. And we know it doesn't die because it shows up in the post-story stuff. I think they end up resettling it with Yuuzhan Vong people at one point.
Mm.
So what else happened? Why, I'm glad you asked. Tarkin managed to spin his dumb failure into a success and get accolades for it. He immediately is like, we don't need those dumb little tiny ships. I have a brilliant idea that I definitely didn't steal from Wraith Sinar for the Death Star.
Yeah, he shows up and is just like, here's a plan that I made. I designed it because everyone knows that I know how to design things like this. And it was all me. And Sinar is like, that is fine. You can do that because I do not have any faith in this. I assume you will get your dumb fool ass blown the fuck up in that thing.
Yeah, he basically has a moment where he's like, I don't trust giant constructs anymore. I don't want to be part of that. I want to build smaller stuff. And I have a bad... this is where we put in the bad feeling about this line, is in the coda. Sinar has a bad feeling about the prospects of such an edifice.
Yeah. Charza Quinn, of course, goes on to become a fucking pirate as soon as the Empire takes control and they don't like non-humans anymore. And he just, you know, only attacks Imperial vessels and uses that to feed his little feeder guys so that he can get fed by them.
Yeah, yeah, he just becomes a dashing space criminal who only works against... he's basically like a rebel before the rebellion.
And we get...
Thracia Cho'Lim.
Thracia Cho'Lim, a couple months after counseling Anakin, just leaves the Order. Just pieces the fuck out. Not even like goes somewhere else, but just quits the Jedi Order.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't say anything else about that, so there's a couple things I'm wondering about what that might be.
Yeah.
One is that she may have gotten a contact from Vergeer and gone to go meet Vergeer and catch up. Because I think there's that Thracia does show up again in some other book somewhere.
Maybe.
But I'm not 100% sure on that. I don't know. But also, I think there's a solid chance that in her doing the trial reading of Anakin, she may have seen some shit.
Yeah, like no, the reading shit I got was like, oh, I spent a couple months getting into the mind of young Darth Vader and then went, I'm good.
Well, I mean, it's more than that because she goes into Darth Vader's mind and then gives him a passing grade. She's not like, we got to drum this kid out of the Order immediately and make sure he never uses any force powers again. Holy shit, no one else go in there.
Yeah, no, instead she's like, oh, this is the most horrible thing I've ever seen, but also is necessary, and I can't tell anyone that. Because if I do, they'll probably just murder this kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and run away from Order 66.
I mean, there's no way to know unless there's more Greg Bear interviews out there somewhere. Or we just get the backstory for Thracia. But to me, it reads exactly like that. That she's just like, hey, I've been rooting around in young Anakin's head, and I decided to pass him because he's the chosen one. And I have to live with that because going into his head for even a second... It's nothing in there but flashes of Vader helmets and red lightsabers.
Mad to the end of my days.
Yeah. So we don't know. But I do appreciate another person just walking away from the order, because there's not enough of that to really give people the impression of how it works. You can just leave whenever you want. You don't have to be a Jedi.
Yeah, if it sucks, hit the bricks.
Yeah, like that. Ahsoka quit. She just was like, fuck this, I'm out. And Dooku quit. Dooku basically was like, yeah, I'm just going to be a noble instead. Fuck this.
Yeah.
I've never really agreed with most of you on anything, and I don't want to be part of it. And then, yeah, eventually he falls to the dark side and becomes Darth Tyrannus or whatever. But originally he was just like, you know what? I have never gotten along with any of you. Fuck all you assholes. Good day.
Yeah. And the fact that Jedi have nothing in place to be like, oh, we should probably keep an eye on you or do something about that. They're like, no, it's fine. You have ridiculous magic powers. On your way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be sure to keep your murder weapon.
Can't stop them from making them. We've established they're super easy to make. You just have to go on a fun adventure to find a magic crystal.
Or, you know, put one in your easy bake oven.
Yeah, make your easy bake oven and just cook up a crystal and then stick it in a little cylinder. I'm pretty sure at least one of the books has described someone making a lightsaber out of the handle of a motorcycle. Yeah, it was Cornhorn. Cornhorn just took the fucking handlebars off a speeder bike and made a lightsaber out of that. You can make them from whatever.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Yeah, so anyway, that's pretty much where the book ends, is this sort of, hey, we forgot to wrap a lot of this up. Here you go, two pages. There you go. Bye.
Yeah. God, I know I harp on it so much, but Jesus.
The pace.
The pace of these books where they're like, hey, we're going to have one action scene at the start and then drag our ass for like 200 pages.
Like a dog with worms.
And then at the very end go, oh, yeah. And then stuff happened. And it's so bad that they had to go, oh, yeah, I guess we do need to wrap things up. Here's a two-page coda so that we can at least answer some questions. And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah, like, I don't know how I would have rewritten this, but obviously that I don't mind the ending being where it is. The whole Thracia goes to be like, hey, you got to be honest with me. That's fine.
Yeah.
The only thing that really needed to be in that coda was, and then Thracia 2 months later quit the order and no one ever heard from her again.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to have as a coda. But the Tarkin and Sinar stuff, that should have been in the book.
Yeah. That, I mean, the scene of Tarkin being like, I'm going to present this as my idea. And from Sinar's point of view, being like, oh yeah, Tarkin took my designs and is telling everyone that it's his. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I just want some more Sinar. I just want Caddy Sinar at the very end to just be like, well, he'll get his, fuck him.
Yeah. I mean, my problem with that is just that I feel like Sinar now gets added to the pile of people who were the designers of the Death Star.
Yeah.
There are so many.
It's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where we're out. That's it.
That's the fucking book. Now, of course, next week we will be doing the wrap-up for this. If you have any questions or anything you want us to discuss about the book, go ahead and you can go to our Discord.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the Expounded Universe channel.
Please do.
Use the hashtag Rogue Planet. Just all one word, just mm-hmm. Rogue Planet.
Mm-hmm. Only capitalize the L.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We have to do that or we won't answer your question.
And if you aren't on our Discord but still want to ask us something, you can always go on Twitter and just tweet at us with a Rogue Planet question.
Yep. So we have a little Q&A session as part of our wrap-up where we discuss our feelings about the book overall. Discuss what we're going to do next, and generally do a sort of Q&A, which is always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the questions can just be about Star Wars. We like it if they're about the book, but if you have Star Wars stuff you want us to look into or whatever, feel free to use it for that.
Yeah.
Just use the hashtag Rogue Planet, because that's how we're going to find and organize the questions.
Exactly.
And after that, we're going to take a week off.
As we always do.
But we will announce the book, the next book, when we do the wrap-up episode, as we always do.
Uh-huh.
Which also reminds me I have like a week to figure that out.
Great.
So, if you want more Star Wars content, though, and you just can't wait, and you're ready to spend about $4 on it, well, have I got a great deal for you. Give me $4.
Just give me $4.
Go to patreon.com/systemmastery. Support us at the $4 or almost all the bonus content tier, and you will receive Star Wars bonus content, where John and I go to Wikipedia, we look up weird shit about Star Wars that just seems like a never-ending resource pool.
So much weird shit.
Yeah, to tell each other, to tell to you. It's a fun, good time of a show. And of course, by doing so, you also unlock the System Mastery bonus content. And Not to mention, this is episode 266 of this and episode 264 of System Mastery right now. So you will get hundreds of archived episodes. You will be set for years of content listening.
That's right.
What a good deal.
There's so much stuff. And of course, it helps the show. It lets us keep doing what we're doing. Lets us keep the lights on. And it lets us do stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that matters to me.
Yep, our disaster tourism shit.
I just need to go to another Margaritaville.
Yeah, we'll probably discuss that in an afterthought episode in the future that we went to New York Comic Con, but didn't really care about going to New York Comic Con and lived entirely for the moment where we could drag as many people as possible to the Times Square Margaritaville for dinner.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm going to go to a city that is known for having amazing food, and I'm going to go to a Margaritaville in Times Square
mm-hmm.
because I have irony poisoning.
And also, you now have a collectible blender mug.
I have a blender mug.
I have a wonderful picture of me hanging out with Shane from Co-op Mood and
Total Party Thrill.
Total Party Thrill, thank you.
Yeah, and Lynn Codega's shoulder.
Noted journalist from IO9, Lynn Codega's shoulder, because they were trying to duck out of the picture. They don't listen to this, right?
Yeah, probably not. And if they do, I don't know, write an article about me.
Yeah, cover us on your show already.
Write an article already. About it.
Yeah. We have our blackmail material at the ready. Also, you have to help us heist the plates.
Get me the plates.
So go help us out. Support us at patreon.com/systemmastery. We also have a book that just came out if you're looking to spend more money on us. Our Dungeon Meister Goblin Quest coloring book is now in stores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you happen to shop for books. That's the Dungeon Meister Goblin Quest coloring book. A ton of really nice detailed illustrations showing a cool adventure that you can also run your players through yourself, thanks to some notes at the start of each of the chapters, along with some fun random tables to really crank it up to weird.
Yep, and I love cranking it up weird.
And I'm terrible at it.
Yep.
So thank you so much for listening. I've been Elan Sleazebegano.
That can't be right. We'll be right back.